I died when I trusted Christ as my Savior. I said to myself, and I'm saying to you right now, that for all practical purposes, I am declaring to you, I no longer want to live for Doug Hammett. I now am getting back out of this water. I'm a new person. I now want to live as if Jesus was in charge of every decision of my life. Every word that comes out of my mouth, every action of my body, every part of my life. I want Him to be in charge. So when we read these words, I am crucified with Christ, that's what Paul is saying. He's saying, look, I died. The Paul's desires for life, my goals, my values, my priorities, my pursuits, everything about me, everything that I ever wanted in life, I put it into the hands of Christ and said, Lord, it's yours. A lot of it I'd like to have back, but Lord, if you don't want me to have it, it's yours anyway. You call the shots.
Amen.
I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I have to be honest. I have to tell you it's true. I am still living. I am living in the flesh. I live. My body's still here. And wouldn't it have been so much easier if the day you'd gotten saved, you bowed your head like that night I trusted Christ, I'd bowed my head in that 61 Dodge and prayed and said, oh, Lord, would you save me? I need you to save me. If just right there my heart had stopped and Lord had taken me straight to heaven, it had been a whole lot easier for me. I wouldn't have had any fleshly appetites to curb, to curtail, or to conquer. Wouldn't have had any battles to ever fight. Wouldn't have ever had any difficulties in life. I would have just gone straight to heaven, been perfect Doug, and perfectly in heaven and enjoy heaven, float around on a cloud. No, not really, but float around on a cloud and sip lemonade and let the angel serve me. That isn't what heaven's going to be all about, all right? But the Lord didn't do that for me. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Now watch. Yet not I. What do you mean, Paul? I'm not still in charge of my life. I am alive. I'm telling you, folks, as I sit here in this prison in Philippians, or here in Galatians as he's writing, as I sit here writing to you at this very moment, I am alive, but I am no longer in charge of my life. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Oh, I know this is a difficult thing to quite understand. It says, Christ liveth in me. It's the idea that although I've died with Christ and I am still physically alive, I'm not really in charge of my life. Jesus has entered into me and He now owns me lock, stock, and barrel. Every part of my life belongs to Him, not to me. Now this is, we're really uncovering the truth of how Paul could say in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. How could he say such a thing? Did he really mean? Yes, he really meant it. He wrote it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Facing potential execution, he still was able to say, Christ is everything to me. Now watch what he says. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now watch this. And the life which I now live in the flesh, me walking around, talking, interacting with people, doing the things that I'm doing, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Think about this for a moment. I don't live this by the faith of Doug Hammett. I live this by the faith of the Son of God. The reason Jesus is able to live in me, take charge of my life, take control of my decisions. Yes, there's an element of faith in my life. That's certainly what this whole passage is talking about. But he's saying the reason all this happens isn't because of my great faith. It's because of Jesus' great faith that put him on the cross of Calvary, and by which he still operates, a faith that says, if you'll get out of the way, I can do it through you. There is nothing in your life. If it's an executioner's block, or if it is a life of difficulty and trial that you have ahead of you, you can face it and win over it. You don't have to be buried by it. Now, you go read in the secular trash and it's going to tell you you're going to get buried by it. You've got to be buried by it because, you know, after you add up so many stress points, this stress gets in your life and it's just got to be that way. You're going to have a breakdown. Well, you know, that works. And so if I add it up and I'm over the limit, okay, breakdown time. Bye, folks. But if I'm a Christian and Christ lives in me, then I got to say, okay, does Jesus have a breakdown? See, they didn't make those little lists of stress points to add up to figure out how Jesus would handle it. They did it to figure out how crazy people like you and I would handle it. And so if I'm still holding my life, controlling my life, in charge of my life, yep, I'm in big trouble. But if He's in charge, and I can learn how to get out of the way and let Him be in charge, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to be able to walk through those difficult days and exhibit the work of Christ in my life. And the life which I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Jesus Christ then becomes the hub. He becomes the center. He becomes the person that I should dwell upon, the person that I should seek. He should be the one that I am drawing near every day of my life, every morning when I get up, every afternoon, every night. I should be consumed by Him. Do you remember when you got married, guys? Do you remember how you thought about her all the time? Do you remember how nothing else could cloud your mind? No business. Nothing else. During those days leading up to my marriage, I'd go over to my wife's dormitory where she stayed. She was at nursing school. And we'd sit out there in the foyer where all these girls were going in and out. I would assume, I don't know, but I would assume that at that nursing school, there were probably some pretty good-looking girls there. But see, I had eyes for only one beauty. And those other girls would come by, and it would irritate me. They'd come and talk to my wife, and it'd be like, she wasn't my wife at that point, but get out of here. I want to talk to her. So we'd sit there, and we'd just talk. It'd be time to go. She'd have to go study. And I'd say, all right. And I'd get in my car and I'd drive back to the apartment. I'd get to the apartment. And guess what I did? Pick up the telephone and call her. Doug, I got to study. It'll be all right. Just a few minutes. What would happen? And I'm not suggesting that you can live like this all your time and all your days. But what would it be like if Christ consumed your thoughts like that? I suggest everything else would fade away. And your love life for Christ would flourish. And you'd find Him working in your life in some miraculous ways. You say, how do I do it? Okay. Discipline number one, and we're only going to get one in tonight, it looks like. The clock, they've fast-forwarded it on me for some reason. Over in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, if you'd turn there, a verse you're very familiar with. The Bible says, Joshua 1:8, the Lord is telling Joshua how to be successful going into the promised land, moving in there. And Joshua's saying, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to handle all this. I got all these Jews I'm supposed to be in control of. We're going across the Jordan. We're going to move into this promised land. And we got all these these enemy troops to fight and win the battle over. Lord, I don't know. I've never done this before. I've watched Moses, but I've never been in charge before. God, how am I going to do it? And here's what he tells him in Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Now, what does that mean if it doesn't depart out of your mouth? More than memorized, it's you got to be talking it. Means your tongue's got to be moving. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Day and night? Yeah, even in the middle of the night. Even in the night seasons that David talked about as he woke up in the middle of the night, the Lord should be what's on your heart. And I suggest to you that if the Lord is what's on your heart all day and in the night seasons when you wake in the middle of the night, God's trying to get your attention. I suggest even more to you that when Christ begins to captivate you and the Word of God begins to dwell in you in that kind of a manner, you're even going to dream the Word of God. You're going to be dreaming verses that you've memorized. You're going to be dreaming talking about people. I sometimes dream about preaching sermons. I dream about witnessing to people. I dream about talking to people. I dream about people getting saved. Now, not near as enjoyable as being able to actually lead somebody to Christ, let me just tell you. But I'm just telling you that whatever you let capture your heart is going to, at the same time, going to capture your attention and cause you to think about it. This is why for years I've told parents the way to handle the nightmares for your kids is put your kids to bed with the Word of God playing or good, solid Christian music playing and let them dwell upon the thoughts of God's Word and it'll capture their heart and over a period of time they'll begin to see the nightmares begin to disappear. But if they're thinking on the wrong things, you put them to bed watching horror stories or some Nightmare on Elm Street or whatever else it might be, and they're watching all that trash, and then they go to bed, no wonder they wake up in the middle of the night screaming and yelling. They shouldn't be watching it to begin with, all right? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Why? Remember what Ezra said? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. That's what it's all about. So that we can observe the Word of God. It's not so we can spout Bible verses and show people how smart we are or how spiritual we are. We better live what we learn. And that's why he searched the Word of God, meditated on the Word of God. And then he says, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Good success isn't going out into the world and saying, let me dream up what I want to be. Good success is found coming to the Word of God and finding out what God wants you to be, finding the will of God, and fulfilling it. That is good success. And the world will lead you everywhere else. The self-help crowd of our day will say, well, sit back and dream up some new idea. What do you want to be? And now you can become all... That's a bunch of trash. You want to find out who you need to be, you get in the Word of God. You get into the Word of God, and God will show you who you ought to be. You need to be like Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, you've got a picture of who you need to be, and God is drawing you near it. Over in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. That word sincere is an interesting word. It's got the idea of a stamp. What they would do when they had a letter to mail or something, their letters would be like a scroll and they'd drop hot wax on it and they'd stick that signet ring in there. And that was one way that it would be. And then they'd have that whole thing there and somebody could break the seal and try to reseal it, but it wouldn't be sincere. It wouldn't be true. Do you know that God's Word is sincere? Desire the sincere milk of the Word. And we need to be digging into the Word of God. It needs to become something that we crave. Have you ever seen a baby when it gets hungry? Or better yet, have you ever heard a baby when it gets hungry? They aren't going to let you alone till they get the milk. Feed me, or I will make your life miserable. What if you craved the Word of God like that? Do you remember a day when you did? Do you remember a day when you craved the Word of God more than you do today? When you get up in the morning and your Bible would be laying right there and you just had to open it up and read it? Couldn't wait to get downstairs and open up the Word of God and get your notebook out and just start writing. Couldn't wait to get to the house of God and sit up front and sit down with a notebook and I want to capture everything I can get. I don't want to miss anything. Do you remember a day like that? I remember days when I used to go to work and I'd carry a New Testament in my pocket. Break time, pull my New Testament out and start to read. Lunchtime. All the other guys are in the break room eating. I'm over in the janitor's closet, locked in the janitor's closet, munching on my food. But I got my Bible open. I'm reading. Why? I had a hunger. I had a hunger that couldn't be satisfied. And just like with food, I found myself, I kind of like to eat. I assume most of you do too. I'm not real big on one meal a day. I kind of like two or maybe even three. Now, I've cut them way down to tiny meals, and only one of them gets to be reasonable. I don't know if that's even reasonable size anymore, but it's reasonable size for me now. All right, that's all I can do. And there used to be a day when I could eat five times what I'm eating now, and it didn't affect me. But so now I've got to cut it all back. I'm glad I never get to the place to where I eat too much of the Word of God. And it hurt. Now, I'll tell you where you can eat too much, and it will hurt you, if you eat it and don't practice it. Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Matthew 4:4, Jesus put it this way. He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So if you'll notice here, we've got a spoke, and that spoke is the downward spoke from Christ to man, moving down. If I want to connect with Christ, how am I going to do that? I'm going to connect with Christ through the Word of God. I can tell you your spiritual temperature, and I can take your spiritual temperature and have a very good idea where you're at by just finding out about your Bible life. And I'm not talking here about, did you just read it? There are five things you can do with the Word of God. Five fingers, four fingers, one thumb. You can hear it. One of the things I enjoy doing, I've got the Bible on audio Bible, and I'll turn it on. And I'll just listen to it being read. I like to hear the Word of God. Sometimes I'll be driving down the road. I just flip it on. If I'm by myself, just turn on the Word of God and listen to it. Sometimes I'll put it on headphones and I just sit there and I listen to the Word of God while I'm doing other mindless tasks. And you say, well, you're not paying attention. No, I'm not paying attention, but I just soon have that stuff running through my head as some trash music that other folks are listening to. It's not going to hurt me to have it running through my head. Hear the Word of God. Second is to read the Word of God. And one of the things that I found is it's not only good to read the Word of God, but it's good to read the Word of God while you hear the Word of God. And I just love it. I like to bring my Bible up on my computer and turn on the sound of my Bible and then read along while the narrator's reading it. And things jump out at me because normally I read at a faster speed than what he talks. And so I bypass things. I miss some things. And he's reading sometimes slow. And in his slow reading, And you see neat things in the Word of God that way. And sometimes the emphasis of his voice, he pulls out things that I wouldn't have emphasized or quite noted on my own. And so just hearing it read. Another good trick is to read it out loud yourself. Now, I recommend you do that in closed place, and you don't necessarily do it where everybody else is. It's kind of like when you're driving down the road, you know, you don't want to be mouthing a whole bunch of things like, well, I guess today you can kind of get away with it. Didn't used to be able to. Now everybody has those things hanging on their ears anyway, and they'll just think you're talking on the telephone. And in a way you are. You're talking to the Lord. Amen. So reading the Word of God back to somebody, back to the Lord, isn't going to hurt a thing. Reading the Word of God. Then after we hear it and we read it, we can study it and take it apart, word by word, verse by verse, passage by passage, and find the truths that are there and connect it with connecting scriptures and find out what God has to say for the purpose of practicing it. Study it. Dig into it. And it's so easy to read your Bible like a newspaper, and you've read it and you say, I don't remember what I read. But when you start studying it, you're digging in for the purpose of being able to record what God's shown you that He wants you to be doing in the Word of God. As a newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. What would God show you need to do right there? I need to get more serious about pursuing the Word of God. Lord, I need to find a way to build it into my life. Maybe I'm going to do it every morning, every noon during lunch break, and every evening before I go to bed. And so I set up three times that I'm going to read a chapter. Maybe I'm going to read the same chapter that same day. I'm going to read it three times during the day so that I don't miss anything, so that the truths come home and stay home in my heart. Maybe I'm going to read three chapters, different chapters. Maybe I'm going to read from three different places. I mean, the application is up to you at this point. What I'm saying is, as we're in the Word and we're studying the Word of God, we're saying, how do I apply this to my life practically? How can I do what God is showing me in His Word? Hear, read, study, memorize. I'm sorry, memorize. Now, why would you need to memorize? Well, there's a lot of reasons to memorize the Word of God. As you memorize the Word of God, the Holy Spirit has something to work on. How does the Holy Spirit lead us? He leads us through the Word of God. The Holy Spirit doesn't lead you through impressions. Oh, I got this feeling. Now, I'm not saying that you can't have a sense from the Holy Spirit, but I'm saying that He will lead you primarily through the Word of God. And He brings to remembrance the things that God has said. That's what Jesus told us. And if you haven't memorized the Word of God, the Holy Spirit doesn't have much to work on, does He? So as I hide the Word of God in my heart, I've got something for the Holy Spirit to use in times when I need some leadership from the Lord, and maybe it's some instant decision, and I've got something then to be able to draw on. How about this? When I hide the Word of God in my heart, I also not only have the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to lead me, but I have something in the middle of the night when I wake up to be able to think about and pray about. Some of the greatest prayer seasons that I ever have are in the middle of the night. I wake up in the middle of the night. Sometimes I'll get up, I'll go downstairs, I'll spend time with the Lord. But a lot of times I'll just lay there for another 15, 20, 30 minutes, sometimes an hour or two. I usually get up if I'm going to be laying there that long. But I find myself in the middle of the night praying. And I'll take that passage of Scripture, maybe that I've been working on that particular day, and I start to go through my prayer list of different folks and asking God to meet needs in people's lives and different people's situations that they're facing. And I'll be praying for different folks. It's the middle of the night, but it's because of the Word of God that's hid in my heart. And then when I memorize the Word, fifth, I can meditate upon it. And one of the best ways to meditate, there's a lot of ways to meditate, but the best way I know of to meditate is really simple. It's to take each word of the verse and emphasize it. This book of the law. This book of the law. And maybe you skip a couple of words of this book of the law. God's Word is law. And as you walk through, you pick the words, the key words, and sometimes every word that's in that verse, and you emphasize it, and you begin what I call pulverize it. You begin to pulverize it, and you ask all the helping men that Rudyard Kipling used to talk about. The who, what, why, when, where, how, you know, all the helping men. And you bring the helping men out and you let them become your arsenal to take God's word apart and let it speak to your heart. And in the middle of doing that, let me just tell you, you can call that not meat and potatoes if you want. But God's word is better than fine gold, amen. David said. Amen. And I don't think you can ever get any deeper than God's word. Amen. You say, I want to grow as a Christian. Here's where it all starts. Jesus is always the focus. You're not studying your Bible just to say, I read for a distance and I got all my Bible reading done. I read so I learned something and I know something that you don't know. No, 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 no. You read for the purpose of seeking Christ, of seeing Christ, of honoring Christ. And I can guarantee you this, if you start doing that, you will see your Christian life begin to grow. And if you don't do that, I will guarantee, this is an absolute money-back guarantee. In fact, I'll double your money. If you don't do that, your spiritual life will fall apart. It will fall apart. People come all the time, Preacher, I got this problem, I got that problem, how do I fix it? Let's start right here. Have you been in the Word? No, I haven't been in the Word. That's where you got to start. It all starts right here. Father, help us, I pray. Help us to long for You. Help us to long to be in fellowship with Thee. Help us, Lord, to submit ourselves to Your Word, not for the purpose of glorying in what we've learned or what we've done, but, Lord, that we might hear from Jesus, come into a living union and fellowship with Him, abiding in Him, and find in Him the strength we need for our Christian walk. The strength we need to battle temptation. The direction we need to know which way we need to go in our Christian walk. The answers that we need to know to be able to provide to others who are searching and looking. And Lord, we don't even know what their questions are. But You provide those answers ahead of time over and over again as we get in Your Word and come into fellowship with You. And it just becomes so very evident that Your hand has been at work. Just like Ezra said, the good hand of the Lord was upon him. Lord, may it be so for Your people that are here tonight as we get in the Word and let You engraft that Word in us. And Lord, attach us to Jesus in a very real way that we find our strength, our life, our all in Christ. With heads bowed and eyes closed this evening, I'm going to ask the pianist to play the song, My Life, My Love, I Give to Thee. And I'm going to invite you tonight. Maybe your prayer life, maybe your Bible life, maybe your heart life isn't where it needs to be. Maybe you're reading your Bible every day, but you're really not finding yourself fellowshipping with the Lord. You're just going through the motions. Or maybe you're not even in the Word at all. And you need to come and say, Lord, I can't bite off huge things, but Lord, I'd like to at least bite off some time every morning with You. Maybe for some of you, it's, Lord, I want some time every morning and every evening with You. Maybe for some others, you say, well, I'm doing that, but how about a few minutes in the afternoon? Maybe to carry in your pocket some Scripture along the way that you can meditate upon what God has shown you in the morning. Maybe you haven't got the passage all memorized yet, but you could write it out and carry it with you and it'd become your meat and potatoes and your gold and your silver that would feed your life and enrich your life day in and day out as you walk with Him. As we stand to our feet with heads bowed, John's going to sing a verse of our invitation song. I invite you to come tonight. You want to talk with the Lord, you do that. Maybe you need Christ tonight. You come. We'd be glad to help you from God's Word.